A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past. A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Gordon dives, and yes, he made that catch. A tremendous catch that robbed Chicago of two runs by the Gold Glover Alex Gordon.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future. This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
And welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I am Troy Olson. I'm joined, of course, by the normal cast of characters, Jeff Herr and Michael Engel. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good.
I'm pretty good as well. Nice little Sunday here.
Nice little Sunday. We're gonna try to rock through this and get you some good content here. But as you learned last week, we can't.
Are we gonna try for a quick show?
We are. We're always gonna try for a quick show. That's the only thing that avoids me.
2 hours, folks.
We always fail at a quick show.
It's what's nerve wracking is when there's a lot of stuff to cover. Then you're like, oh god, we can't talk about. I can't tell you guys to give me just a simple answer without a 10-minute diatribe from you guys. So when we do have a lot, that's when it gets a little scary. We're going to actually start off with a little Echo Network Sports here, and we're going to go away from baseball for just a little bit. And some of you hate when we do that,
too
but
bad.
You'll deal.
It's the biggest local story of the last month, so deal with it.
So there's a team that plays across from the K. I guess it plays at that big stadium that's called Arrowhead, and they're apparently the Kansas City Chiefs. So they had a pretty crappy year last year. You know, they only won two games. That's the Royals even managed to win more than two games over the course of a span of 16. So it was close at times, but they did pull that off. Well, I don't know where that came from, but that was kind of cool. The Chiefs fired their coach and they fired their GM, Scott Pioli, gone. Everybody is relieved to find this out because Scott Pioli was relieved of his duties because Andy Reid has come aboard to be a member of the Chiefs. He essentially will have full control over football operations. They haven't named a general manager, and there will be some sort of general manager named, but it's going to be more like what Pioli did in New England, where they'll take care of a lot of business side things. And I think this could be a really good thing for the Chiefs. We were going to have on a friend of mine from Philly to talk about Andy Reid, but she is unavailable at this time, and so we'll see if she gets back in time. But Andy Reid spent 14 or 15 years in Philly, and they were mostly successful. Has been bad the last couple of years, but in the last couple of years, his son, I believe, committed suicide among some other personal stuff with him. So I think there's a lot to be said for his personal matters that have gone on, and I thought he needed a year off, but he's going to come right in here to Kansas City and do his thing. And so, Jeff, you're our football guy. How do you feel about the Andy Reid signing?
I believe on Twitter I equated the Andy Reid signing by the Chiefs to the Jeremy Guthrie signing by the Royals, more from the terms of kind of how I felt about it. It's something that I am more or less lukewarm on. It's when I look at it, I tend to think, okay, Andy Reid, obviously, over the last 14 years, I mean, besides Bill Belichick, there might not be a more proven coach in the league. I mean, Bill Cowher's been retired for 5 or 6 years now, so you could probably throw him into that mix as well. But he's top five over the last 14 years, we'll call it. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. But that's the last 14 years. And what I really, really stress, a lot of things I wrote for 610 about the Chiefs finding a new coach was they need to find someone who's not looking at the past and someone who's looking at the future, because that's one of the biggest things the Chiefs have fought over the years is they've always brought somebody in looking at the past, looking at what they've done. And I guess I shouldn't say always, because they have made a hire like a Todd Haley and to a lesser extent maybe a Herm Edwards, but and looking towards the future. But I'm lukewarm on it because I think I don't know the track record of – I still need to – that's research I'm probably going to do later today of how successful coaches have been after spending 10-plus years at one place and then moving on to another one. I know coaches who have just plain 10 years of experience, whether it's at one place or not, and then move on, typically don't have as much success as they did earlier in their career. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how it works out. But I do know that Andy Reid is very proven, and he is still relatively young for a coach. He's only 54, even though he's been coaching for 14 years as a head coach, which means he was pretty young when he first started. So that's a good thing. He's still got a lot of gas left in the tank. He's not a Dick Vermeil who's in his 60s and kind of worn out and things like that. So there's still that. And, you know, it could have just been something like a change of scenery, maybe reinvigorates him a little bit. And who knows, maybe he gets over the hump with Kansas City. Ultimately, bottom line, I think it's probably a good hire for the reason that when I say I'm lukewarm on it, I don't know that he does get the Chiefs over the hump, but I think worst case scenario, it's another Dick Vermeil era. And that was a pretty good era for the Chiefs, all things considered. They only made the playoffs one time, but they won 10 games twice, and they were pretty competitive. They were fun to watch. The stadium was always packed. So if that's your worst case scenario, and he's here for 5 years, and that's what they get, then, you know, I obviously won't be happy because I want the Chiefs to win a Super Bowl, but it's better than the last 4 years that we just went through, last 5 years, even if you count the last year of the Herman Carl regime. So from that standpoint, you know, it definitely could have done a lot worse, but in my opinion, also could have done better. So it should be interesting, though. It'll be interesting to see how he assembles his staff and who he picks number one overall and everything. He's basically football czar of the Chiefs now. So I'm definitely interested to see how those things shake out.
Well, and I equated it to the hiring of Ned Yost, a guy that just seems to have a little bit of ability to get the team together, but never to bring home the big one. But I think I may have overreacted on that a little bit because I never overreact. I mean, we all know this. You know, worst trade ever, I think I might have said at one point. So, but, you know, I think it's okay. I'm interested to see it. I consider myself, you know, a fan of all sports in this town. And while I haven't made it out to the Sporting, you know, they're fun to watch too, but it's not really my thing. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to say on it. Mike, did you want to add anything?
No. It's Chiefs.
I will say from a fantasy perspective, it makes a lot of things really interesting because I think if you had given up on Dwayne Bowe being in Kansas City, that may have changed. There's talk that Jeremy Maclin only has 1 year left and Philly's looking to trade him. If you could get like Maclin for a third round pick or something, that'd be pretty cool. I don't know that the Chiefs would make that offer or not, or if Philly would take it, but it'd be interesting to see. It should make the team better. It should be two good sports teams here in Kansas City next year. And you folks can all thank me for that. Had I not decided to move to Arizona, none of this would have happened.
And also, now that, since you brought that up, Troy, of the fantasy perspective, it is one thing to note. There's been a lot of stuff that people have said. You see a lot of snarky comments on Twitter about Andy Reid and not running the quarterback, or not using the running back correctly, and, you know, passing too much and all that kind of stuff. And he does pass a lot, but the idea of him not giving enough carries to the running back and everything, I think that's a little bit of a media creation and a kind of a fallacy. LeSean McCoy over the last 2 years has had, or over the last two full years compared to Jamaal Charles last two full years, because McCoy was injured this year and Charles was injured in 2011. But comparatively, LeSean McCoy has actually gotten more carries per game on average than Jamaal Charles and quite a bit more receptions. So for anybody out there that's worried or that is kind of hearing that and thinking that it might be another, you know, free Jamaal Charles movement might be necessary, I think when Andy Reid knows that he has a good running back, he utilizes him. I mean, there was I think 4 out of the last 6 years he's had a running back over 1,000 yards, and 3 of those years they were over 1,200 or something when I was doing research, something like that. So I wouldn't be too concerned about Jamaal Charles and him getting enough touches.
So I think that about covers what we need to talk about on the Chiefs. I think it's going to be exciting. It'll be really interesting to see what happens now this offseason. I still think they're not going to draft a quarterback. I think you're going to see the quarterback come into play before the draft. because neither of the guys that are available, or none of the three guys that are available at the top, are really worth a first overall. So I think they're still going to go another direction, but we'll see how that works around in the end. But yes,
really quickly. Sorry, had to bring that up though. The only thing I will say is that with Andy Reid's offense, the West Coast offense, a lot more timing routes and short passing routes. So I think when you factor that in, someone like a Matt Barkley becomes a lot better fit than he did with the offense that the Chiefs have ran the last 10, 15 years. So point being, I could definitely see Andy Reid still wanting to pick a quarterback number one overall, having his choice. And I got to think that's part of the reason that was attractive for him to come here. But I do agree that I think there'll also be a veteran move made to bring somebody in to kind of tutor him, and it'll kind of follow the same model that they did with Don McNabb in Philly when he was there 14 years ago. So,
Again, it'll be really interesting to see how that all pans out. I mean, there's still talk that you know, Cousins could be traded this offseason, and it would make sense because, I mean, I don't know how much Washington necessarily needs him, but then again, you know, you do have a high-risk quarterback because he's always out running and what have you, and quarterbacks like that take hits, and there's a chance that RG3 could get hurt, so they may just want to hold on to him just for the sake of just to make sure that they always have a grade-A quarterback, and he looked pretty good in what he did play. Moving on to the Royals, they had some minor league signings. One of note is Chad Tracy, but it's not that Chad Tracy.
Yeah.
It's Chad Tracy of Jim Tracy's son fame, because that's about how much fame he has. I'll go ahead and let Michael Engel take over this section.
Yeah, for a second it looked like the Royals weren't – it looked like they were done. Like, they got James Shields and they were just being quiet. You know, everybody's saying they're over budget and they're probably at about $82 million on the payroll. And so, yeah, it kind of leaves them to only be able to do minor league signings. And so, you know, the first one they did, they signed Endy Chavez, who came up through the Royal system and has since played in Seattle and other places, and more of a defensive guy, but he's in his mid-30s, you know, just a minor league kind of guy. Got to let him fight out in spring training. They signed Blaine Boyer, who's just a reliever, drafted by the Braves in 2000. So I wonder how that happened. And then, yeah, Chad Tracy is the other guy. And it's not the guy who was on the Nationals last year during their playoff run. It's not the guy who was a former Diamondback. This guy was drafted by the Rangers and up until last year was with in their minor league system. Last year he was with the Rockies. And like you said, Troy, he was Jim Tracy's son, who was through part of the year their manager. So, you know, he's a right-handed guy, big guy. He's going to strike out a lot. He's probably not destined to play in the majors, 27 years old, but he's probably going to hit about 25 homers in Omaha because that field is very friendly to right-handed hitters with power, and he definitely has that. The other signing, and probably the highest profile one and most questionable one or controversial one, is Miguel Tejada, who didn't play in the majors last year. He's 39 years old, former MVP. Apparently he's hitting really well in the winter leagues. The Royals signed him, and the reports are that he's going to have a spot on the 40-man roster, that's one of the conditions, and he'll make at least $1.1 million. So it's kind of scary to think what's going to happen there. We saw it last year when they signed Unieski Betancourt and promised he was just going to be a backup, and then he started about three-fourths of the games that he played in until they finally released him in the middle of summer. So I don't know. I don't know if this is just another signal that they don't trust Johnny Giovitella, or if this is one of those things where they're setting him up for extra competition. But yeah, I don't know. 39-year-old players who play middle infield who can perform at a league average rate, you can count them on one hand, basically. And that's in the history of baseball. Like, you're talking like Craig Biggio types. You're talking, Hall of Fame caliber guys, and Miguel Tejada is not a Hall of Fame caliber guy. So I think best case is he's going to end up coming to spring training, doesn't hit. He performs like you expect a 39-year-old middle infielder to hit, and it's a non-issue. That's probably the best case in my mind, just because, you know, I think the Royals can't get by on trying to put these retreads in there. I think at some point they have to figure out that Johnny Giovitelli cannot do it over a full season. And he does have 400 career plate appearances, but the, you know, 200 of those came at the end of 2011, and the others were just kind of tossed around here and there throughout 2012. He's never really gotten the shot to be the committed second baseman every day, and I think they need to figure that out. And if they can't use him there, then they have to, you know, find that second plan of Christian Colon or Ray Navarro or somebody that they go out and get. So that one, that one caused a stir, and that was right on New Year's Eve too. So everybody was kind of on high alert anyway. But yeah, those are the four minor league signings. They're, you know, staying pretty active. They're going out and finding whatever they can, and it's probably going to be what they do from here on out, unless they make a trade and move some money out of the payroll, like trading Bruce Chen or Luke Chaver or Jeff Francoeur, if they can somehow manage it and get someone to play right field.
You know, and the thing on the Chen and Hochaver thing is Bob Dutton has said that there is interest in those guys, but just nothing that the Royals has liked. I mean, doesn't that have to be the most painful thing for any Royals fan to hear, is that there's actually offers out there and these guys just won't move them?
I don't know if there's offers, but I know that Colorado has been interested in Hochaver. Last year at the trading deadline, Baltimore was said to be interested, and there was almost a deal in place from what I've heard. Chen, you know, I don't know. I think there's probably some interest, but the Royals are probably, yeah, they're probably looking for something of significance, because they do figure these guys to be in the rotation, or at least one of the two to be in that fifth spot. And with them having that in mind, it makes them harder to move. It's not like when they were trading Clint Robinson and Vin Mazzaro for whatever they could get. You know, those guys were just gone. They were either going to use them or lose them. And you know, they were, you know, they had to get whatever they could out of them. So, you know, when it comes down to Chen and Hochaver, well, you know, they still intend to use both of them in whatever role they can find, and unless they find a trade that does suit what they want to do, which, you know, they seem to have a habit of not being able to give up on pitchers. We saw that with Kyle Davies, and you know, I think Chen is, you know, a great guy, but he's just not somebody who's going to be reliable, I don't think. He doesn't stay healthy, and his performance is, you know, inconsistent.
I think part of the problem that you look at here is something that has affected the Royals for a long time, and that Bruce Chen and Luke Hochaver hold more value to the Royals than just about anybody else. So, you know, specifically because Bruce Chen – been one of the better Royals pitchers the last couple of years, unfortunately. And Luke Hochaver, as bad as he's been, eats a decent amount of innings. And for the Royals, those two things are a big deal, whereas other teams just see them as probably, you know, that fifth or maybe even spot starter type. And that's what they're willing to give up for him, but that's not what the Royals want. So, you know, no deal probably gets done unless the Royals realize that they're going to have to settle for less than they want, because I think that's the quandary they find themselves in.
Yeah, they have to kind of look at the payroll space as the biggest benefit of a move, and then anything else is just gravy.
Yeah, because, I mean, say they got rid of both of them. That's
$9 million.
If you're factoring in the arbitration for Coach Grand Chen's contract, $9 million, that's pretty good that you can spend somewhere else.
In theory.
Exactly, there you go, in theory.
Yeah.
Well, for now, I mean, it's people that we're saddled with, so I guess we'll see from there. But let's see. I'm going to go ahead and go jump over to the mailbag here. Give me just a second. I moved off of the article. But once again, you can always send us an email at royalmanreport@gmail.com or shoot us on Twitter at KC Royalman or at the Kansas City Baseball – or I'm sorry, it's at KC Baseball Vault. Of course, find – Mike at both at Michael Engel and at Kings of Kaufman and at Jeff at the Jeff Report. Actually, I'm going to back up again for a quick second here, because we need to jump back to the Chiefs conversation for just a second, because Jeff Herr probably had the coolest thing that has happened to any of us that have been involved in this show. Chris Candler's done some pretty cool things. We've had the TV spots. I've had my interviews on Channel 5 and what have you. But Jeff Herr gets a direct message from a guy on ESPN Radio in Hawaii. They wanted to talk about Andy Reid to Kansas City. Jeff had just wrote an article about it on 610. Jeff informs him that, hey, I don't actually talk on 610. I'm a blogger. I do this other stuff, but I'll come on if you want. And Jeff Herr goes on radio in Hawaii. Jeff, how does it feel to be a star on more than just the 48 states?
That was I don't know if I'd call myself a star, but that was definitely one of the cooler things that happened. I don't know how this guy found me. I'm guessing he probably looked up Kansas City radio stations and then found 610's website and saw my blogs on there. And I was impressed. I mean, he had actually read like my last couple of articles that I wrote on the Chiefs and everything and was asking me questions about that. And it was really cool for someone to ask. That's the first guest spot I've ever done in any sort of an interview fashion on radio for anywhere else. And it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. I may or may not be the face of the Chiefs or the voice of the Chiefs to all people in Hawaii now. Who knows? I don't know how many people they have from Kansas City on.
We're huge in Hawaii.
Yeah. So I just hope that I represented KC and anybody else well. So all of us, I guess. Hope I represent well.
Well, I thought you did a great job, and to cross our sports metaphors here, you definitely hit a home run with that interview. I was real impressed. I mean, he has some hard stuff. I was like, I wouldn't have had a clue what to say there, and you just, without missing a beat, you were just on it. And so kudos to you, and if you do get that soundbite, let me know, and I'll include it at the end of this episode.
Will do. Thanks.
So, but that was pretty cool for the Kansas City Baseball Vault or Echo Sports family to have one of our own on the air in Hawaii. We did get an email, as I said, at royalmanreport@gmail.com. It comes from our good friend David Lowe. He wanted to say that the email was entitled Perfect, so I just thought it was about the way I looked, but it was not. He just wanted to say that it was a great show on 12:30. He was very grateful for answering the questions about Hosmer, gave him some great food for thought on what could have been his personal problems off the field. He has his own speculation as well, and he could see how that could play negatively in his mental game. He's also concerned that it does carry over into 2013, which I think we all are. He says his question this week is, and we were just talking about this a little bit, so Mike, I'll let you retouch this, and Jeff, if you want to add to it, feel free. But he says, why Miguel Tejada and why Andy Chavez? He read the Star story about Tejada being a mentor and all, but the guy was without a doubt on roids back in his MVP seasons, and he just doesn't understand moves like this. It goes along with ones like Betancourt, not once but twice. He says some of DM's moves are brilliant, signing Broxton Paulino, trading Broxton for Joseph, signing Mondesi, Cuthbert, Kelexi, Hernandez, etc., but others are just baffling. Definitely some of the moves are just baffling. And, you know, one guy that absolutely loved this signing was Kevin Scobie. He wrote
an
article just praising. He wrote two articles just praising the signing on Kings of Kaufman.
To be fair, he's really, really easy to please. Like, he's such an agreeable guy when it comes to the Royals' moves. He loves all of them. He carries so much water for Dayton Moore.
Yeah, he has asked Dayton Moore if he could just, mow his lawn and do anything he can for him just to help out because he's done such a great job. And if you're not detecting the sarcasm in our statements, you need to go to King.
God, I love that guy. Yeah.
He gets so bad. And the other day when I was going through the Google Reader and looking for my Kings of Kaufman fix and looking at, and then I see the Monday rant, and I was like, yes, Scobie's back.
Required reading for any Royals fan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yes, the Monday rants are absolutely required.
Engel, I'm glad you let him just go on those because that's some of the highlights from this week reading.
You can't let a wild colt, you can't get in the barn, you know? You got to let him run free.
I don't remember if it was in one of the articles or where, but he said something about he had an update to his original article, but Engel doesn't allow him to swear, so he couldn't write his update.
Oh, he tweeted that. I was like, no, you can do it. I don't care.
I thought that was pretty fantastic.
Go for it.
Now, Kevin Scobie's a great writer, and I have nothing but – 100, you know, 1,000 respect for Scobie and what he does, and he's absolutely one of my favorites on Kings of Kaufman. Of course, I read everything Mike writes because I have a feeling it's going
to
end up in the
you
podcast.
Have to.
And I better be ready to know what the heck he's talking about.
Yeah.
So just to answer his question here, I think the Tejada question is a question for a lot of folks, but it's weird because it does appear that he's going to make not only the 40-man but the 25-man roster. But Andy Chavez, it looks like it's just a minor league deal, and minor league deals are great because it gives you a lot of depth in your organization. And if you've got guys that have had major league time that you can throw in your minor leagues into AAA and to have them as kind of bullets in your belt, I think it helps a lot. Mike, did you want to add anything that you hadn't already said on these
guys?
Well,
I mean, when you sign a minor league guy, it's kind of a just-in-case. And if you get something out of them, that's awesome. And if you don't, well, then you don't really lose anything. They're guys that, you know, they're signing a minor league deal, so they're not on your 40-man roster. You don't have to move anybody off of that. And until you're ready to bring them up, you don't even have to add them to the 40-man. So, you know, you can just kind of sit on them and kind of wait. And if something happens, great. If not, well, you're out whatever the minor league salary is, whatever you agreed to. So it's not too bad. But I think what's kind of at the heart of this is Dayton Moore is very good at scouting players. He's very good at finding young talent. And I think I've mentioned this before. He's really good at finding really good players who are 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. He's not that great at finding players that are 28, 29, you know, all of those kind of guys. You know, there's questions about how he completes a major league roster and how he manipulates it. And also, I think part of this is that the Royals are still a little bit of an old school organization in that they put a premium on a lot of the intangible things that, you know, sometimes, yeah, I think there's an effect there, but a lot of times I think it's just finding a veteran and saying that they're going to have a veteran presence. And that might be what's at play with Tejada. You know, there's an article on Royals.com talking about he has this infectious attitude and, you know, this warm-up routine that gets people, you know, laughing and playing around with them and all this. And it's like, okay, that's great, but that doesn't do anything for, you know, how often he can get on base. That doesn't give him an extra 2 feet to his right as far as fielding range. It doesn't do anything. So, you know, I think the Royals put too much emphasis on that sometimes. You know, I think it's important to consider what the makeup of your team is, but, you know, it doesn't do much good if, you know, the excitable, happy guy is a really bad baseball player.
Yeah, and I think you couldn't have said it better, Mike. I think that's kind of always been Moore's greatest weakness, in that I think, you know, if you put like you said, a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid out in front of him, he can recognize the skills that could develop into a major league player as good as anybody in the league, probably. The issue has been, you know, on the development side, especially when you look at pitching, but then also when you talk about with looking at the major league roster, like, he looks at a player like a Jeff Francoeur, and he still sees that 18-year-old with all those skills.
Right.
You know, that's what I think he's always lacked, is that ability to kind of look at the tea leaves, if you will, more or less being statistics, things that prove out over time to show what a player really is, and actually, you know, let that be a part of his evaluation of that player. And I think he's too often blinded by what he has seen versus what he is seeing, or at least there's a lack of ability maybe to recognize what he's currently seeing versus what he originally saw. So I do think that's kind of the issue, and I think a lot of the times maybe he's hoping that, well, we can make one of these minor league signings, and Andy Chavez, Miguel Tejada or whatever, and say maybe, you know, they put it all together for one season, we catch lightning in a bottle, and it's Jeff Francoeur 2011 all over again or something like that. And you know, to a certain extent, those are the kind of moves you have to make as a Royals GM.
Yep.
But lesser extent, you could also make much better moves, and it kind of shows to a lack of any sort of a plan that you have. Like, you can't be a GM just hoping that, you know, one third of your lineup is catching lightning in a bottle for 1 year. You just can't do it. So, Dayton Moore needs to get over that, and to a certain extent, like what you said, there's not much harm in making a minor league deal, but you know, can't continue to go on doing the Jeff Francoeur signings and things like that.
Well, I think it's interesting to say the least. So we're going to take a break here. We're going to attempt to bring Chris Kamler in and talk about And we're going to talk about an upcoming event that he's got going on, or I guess that we all have going on. So we're going to take a quick break, tell you a little bit about an event coming up for us as well in late February along with this one. If for some reason something goes screwy wrong here, and it very possibly could, this may also be the end of the show. So if it is the end of the show, we'll talk to you next week. Send your emails to royalmanreport@gmail.com. Otherwise, we'll be right back after this break. For nearly 2 years, the Royal Man Report and Kansas City Baseball Vault have brought you the fans' perspective on Royals baseball. You've joined us for nearly 2 years at kingsofkaufman.com/podcast or royalmanreport.com. Come celebrate at Kelly's Westport Inn on February 23rd, 2013, as we celebrate 2 great years of guests, Royals talk, and analysis with you, our fans. Party starts at 7, free cover before 10. See you there.
Tell me if this might describe your situation. You're a Royals fan. You have been your whole life. It's been a long road, but you think the team is about to turn the corner. But then, it's the winter, and your wife starts to nag you about how much football you're watching. She says she wants to be fair. She says you need to rake the leaves. Suddenly, everything you've worked for is all on the table. The television, the DVR, the case of beer. Might I suggest to you another alternative? You need to go down and have a cold beverage at Kelly's Westport Inn. Hell, bring the wife along. If it doesn't work out, it's been named one of the top places to pick up single guys. Maybe you'll both get lucky. Whatever you do, get out of the house. Get down to Kelly's Westport Inn. The choice of a laid-back bar is an important one, and should not be made solely on podcast advertising alone. Kelly's Westport Inn and the Royal Man Report, partners you can count on.
And welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We're going back to the four-man team as we bring in, once again, this guy. You might know him on Twitter as Fake Ned Yost or The Fake Ned. He's Chris Kamler, and he's on to bigger and better things now. And he wants to tell us a little bit about an event that he's got coming up that we're going to help him with. Chris?
I don't know if that's true, Troy. I've been sitting here in the basement for the last 6 months waiting for you guys to come over, and you guys just stopped. I mean, I don't understand what the situation here is, but I made chili, and I don't know what the
and then you
what the,
and then you ate it all, and it was just a bad game for everybody around you.
Bad, man. How are you guys, man? Hey, have you heard of about this Ray Lewis guy? I guess he's retiring.
He's a fantastic dancer.
Is that so?
They haven't had like a montage or anything about this clown. I don't know what the deal is, but I don't know. I'm gonna have to watch this guy's career. He's got quite the knife skills, so we'll have to pay attention.
Have to look him up.
What am I? Am I plugging something? Is that what I'm here for? Is it?
Yes.
Oh, is that okay? Sorry, I've got Troy's annoyed sound.
No. Why do you always think I'm annoyed with you? I'm just here to run the show. I don't really get annoyed with anybody.
Well, you should start running the show. That would be a good start. Hey guys, there's a couple cool things going on with me. Since I was left homeless here after my run at the Royal Man Report, but we are starting up a new radio program on Wednesday. It is going to be called The Ball Game, and it is going to be on 1510, which is where we had the Kansas City Baseball Vault last year, and it is going to be on Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. And it is going to have me, our good buddy Jeff Logan, that we all remember and love, who gets us all of these great guests that we are so excited about, and some guy named Greg Pryor, who was apparently on a championship ball club many, many years ago, I think in 1985. So it's going to be a fun show. It's going to be kind of a little bit of what the show was last year, and we've got access to a bunch of guests that we probably couldn't have if Greg weren't on the show. So we're going to have negotiations with with Mike McFarlane and Kevin Seitzer to come in for an entire hour. We're trying to get George Brett on the program. We're trying to get Frank White on the program. George Brett will be the featured guest at the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society meeting on the 24th of January. And that is going to be at Kauffman Stadium. And it is free to Baseball Historical Society members. It's $25 if you are not. It also happens to be $25 to join the Historical Society, so you could just do that. Anyway, what is the last thing I got? Oh, this is the coolest part, because this is the part I'm super excited about. On February 10th, we are going to have – that is the day before pitchers and catchers report. And I know that if your name is Michael Engel, that is a date that is circled in blood on your calendar, because that is just your massive boner day for guys like you. But anyway, the day before that,
it's true.
The day before that is Sunday at 4:00. We are going to have a party, and we're going to have just a cool thing. It is going to be at the Screenland Armor in North Kansas City. We have rented out that theater, and we are going to show a little movie called Major League. It was very popular back in the day. It stars a couple of guys that you probably haven't heard of. Charlie Sheen is in that. Tom Berenger is in that. Pedro Serrano makes an appearance. He has a cameo in that. And we're going to
– he actually plays himself in that one.
Pedro Serrano plays himself. It was his only credit, but he did good. He did very, very well. It's going to start at 4:00. The movie's going to start at 5:00. It's $5 a ticket, guys. So if you can make it, you need to make it. They just put it up on their website yesterday. It's going to be in the pitch for 3 weeks, and it seats 250 people, and I want to have 251 people there. And it is going to be super, super cool. So, it starts at 4:00. We're going to have, Willie Akins is already RSVP'd. He's going to be there. We're trying to get a couple other folks. Greg Pryor should be there. A couple other, important people. And then me, I know you guys have shown interest in going to be there. And so from 4 to 5, we're going to do trivia. We're going to play silly movies. And it is going to be hosted, just basically a party that we host. And so we can do whatever the heck we want to for an hour. And then at 5:00, we're going to play Major League, and we're just going to get crazy and scream at the screen on all the quotes that we all know and love so well. And I don't know. What do you guys think? It sounds like it might be a good time. This town is dying for some sort of semblance of baseball activity. So
I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited for it. I'm sure I'm planning on being there at least right now.
Yep, I'm going to be there. I think, it's the best baseball movie in my opinion. I like any baseball movie, but if you're looking for ones that I've seen every time it's on TV, Major League's the one, and you never get tired of it.
We had a poll up on facebook.com/theballgamekc, which is the site that we've got up for the show. We said, what's your favorite baseball movie? And actually, Field of Dreams won, but I can't imagine you would like want to go out and sit in a theater and cry.
Right.
So
I think a lot of people would pick Field of Dreams because they think they should pick Field of Dreams. But we all know in everybody's heart, you like watching Major League more than you like watching Field of Dreams. At least that's the way I am.
I agree, and what I'm thinking of doing is I may just clip out like the 2 minutes of them saying, "Dad, you want to have a catch?" And we'll play that. We can all have a good cry, and then we'll watch Major League and laugh. So I know you guys are working on something very, very super secret and something very special with some friends of ours in Surprise, Arizona that we might be able to do. I talked to the guy the other day, and he's convinced that we can do that, so that might be pretty cool if we can pull that off. So, listen, you guys are big time and we're small time, so we need to get the word out. Go to just search Screenland Armor and you can buy your tickets on there. You can buy your tickets at the door, although I would love to have that sold out long before. So if you can make it out, great. Get your tickets in advance, and I think it's going to be a good time.
Well, and like I said, I think it'd be a lot of fun, too, and I'm looking for something here. Bear with me. I wanted to have this ready, and I don't. Here we go. Here we go. Listen in to this. Hopefully it'll play well.
It's time for the Ball Game, sponsored by the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society, with Jeff Logan, Chris Kamler, and 1985 World Series champion Greg Pryor.
No outs to go. The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Here's your host, Platte County Landmark columnist Chris Kamler.
So, that is going to be a lot of fun.
And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just start screaming. Yeah! The whole time. That's going to be like the first 5 minutes of the show. And then that's about it.
Too bad it's radio, so it's, or you could wear sunglasses and keep putting them on and taking them off.
I could. Or I could just walk around like I'm Mark Mangino, because we know that
apparently
over at Union Broadcasting, every time I walk in, somebody with makes more money than I do thinks I'm Mark Mangino, so that's good too.
It wasn't Mark Mangino, it was Charlie Weiss.
Oh, it was Charlie Weiss.
You got to use it right, Chris. Jeff and I about drove off the road in separate cars. We were both driving, and I got a message from Jeff just after he said it, and I saw him message you as well that he had called you Charlie Weiss, and I thought that was classy.
I'm sorry, I get my morbidly obese KU coaches confused from time to time. So,
Charlie Wood,
Charlie Weiss. I don't know, man. It's gonna be fun. I honestly, we've had one meeting about the radio show, so I have no idea if it's gonna be any good or not. But it's gonna be on at 4 o'clock on Wednesday, so tune in to see what happens.
We're excited for it to get going and see how it goes. And you know, we're coming up on 2 years here with the Royal Manor Report and the Kansas City Baseball Vault. And you know, of course, we hope to have you down there on February 23rd. It's a Saturday at Kelly's Westport Inn at Westport in Pennsylvania. You guys know where it is. You've been there by now. We would hope.
Now, is that a bar? I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure about Kelly's. Is it a bar and grill?
It is a bar, but it's not as good of a bar as maybe a Spit Cup or something like that.
Oh,
but
man,
it definitely gets the job done.
Wooden leg night tomorrow. You guys should come down.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Favorite night of the week. The Spit.
Thursday is Wash Bin Wrestling.
Wash Bin Wrestling.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I know, right?
I love it.
It sounds like something I would be involved in for sure. Well, anyways, yeah. If you know, we're Kamler, you're always welcome around here, and we've said that for a long time. And if things get worked out and the studio reopens, we're glad to jump back in there. But until then, this seems to be working pretty good. So
I play the lottery every week with hopes and intentions of reopening the studio at some point in time. So I'll let you know if that pans out.
I'll say this: I. The Kmart over here on Shawnee Mission is going out of business, and I always think, man, how cool would it be to turn that into something like a radio studio / place for roller derby, which are, of course, my two loves. And, man, it'd be really nice to really convert that sucker. It's such a nice big building. It'd be so good for that. But
put in a batting cage, too.
Right? Yeah. Just right outside. Yeah. That's for when Chris has interrupted the show one too many times. We can go and swing the bat so that we don't have to.
Now, wait a second. I think we're missing out on something. So it's going to be a podcast studio, a roller derby. And why couldn't we go ahead and open up Spit Cup in the corner?
There you go.
And there it is.
It all comes full circle. Hey, Jeff, what do we call that?
We call that a business plan, folks.
Well, that's not what I was looking for. I was looking for a little synergy, but I'll take a business plan too. So why not? It's all dependent on winning the lottery. Unless there's one of you out there that listen, that maybe one of our new Hawaiian friends just has a lot of money laying around.
Yes.
and wants to donate towards our new business plan.
Maybe we just haven't come out and properly just asked for people just to send us checks. I think that's what we should do.
I mean,
we'll etch your name into the new sidewalk that we'll pour.
We need to play Sarah McLachlan music behind everything that we ask for money.
Of, Yeah, pictures of animals that are just sad or children starving or whatever.
Like,
we can help these children with their podcast needs. Just send us your money.
I love it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think we have about covered and done as much possible damage as we could possibly do here today. I think it's time to go ahead and get on out of here today. But we want to thank Chris Kamler for stopping by to
record skip, Troy. Hit the needle. Put a penny on it.
Yeah, I don't know what just happened, but it's not functioning. Here, let's try this again.
Old school.
There we go. And so, once again, we'd like to thank Chris Kamler for coming on. Everybody, check it out. Buy your tickets for the ball games showing of Major League. It's just $5. Check it out. There will be discounts, I'm sure, out there to be given. We can't have nice things. I was trying to do something different with the ending, and it just didn't play nice. Anyways, thanks, Candler, for coming on. We hope everybody buys a lot of tickets. Come join us for that on February 10th, and then February 23rd out at Kelly's, the second anniversary of the Royal Manor Fort / Kansas City Baseball Vault. Hopefully, Candler can get – we'll get Parkins to pay for $50 worth of Candler shots. Until then, everybody have a great week, and we will see you on the other side. Go Royals. Hang on just a second. I'm going to grab an open, and we're going to get going here. Megan and I got to go dress shopping today, so I'm going to look fabulous in my new wedding dress.
I can't wait to see the pictures.
That's frightening.
That's frightening.
It's just disturbing.
Just for you, Mike, do I say things like that? For nearly 2 years, the Royal Manor Report and Kansas City Baseball Vault have brought you the fans' perspective on Royals baseball. You've joined us for nearly 2 years at kingsofkaufman.com/podcast or royalmanreport.com. Come celebrate at Kelly's Westport Inn on February 23rd, 2013, as we celebrate 2 great years of guests, Royals talk, and analysis with you, our fans. Party starts at 7, free cover before 10. See you there.